Hey, everybody. I know it's just a minute or two early, but since I really want to leave some time for questions and answers today, I kind of figured I'd get started with the boring stuff, which is mostly about me, and then we'll move into the interesting stuff about my company and about how we're using Yammer, which is really why you're all here, okay? So first, welcome to Real World Challenges and Value and introducing Enterprise Social. I am Melanie Hoherz. You've heard over and over again from speakers about how excited they are to be here. I would like to tell you that I am actually a perpetually excited personality. This is as calm and as quiet and as slow as I am going to be for the next 75 minutes, and it's taking a great deal of effort. So I would really like to hear from all of you at the end of the session in feedback. I would like to hear from you in Q&A. If the only voice I hear today is mine, I will be upset and you will see it. You will hear it. Okay. So one of the things that I'd like to do first is I would like to lean on a group which I know and love well. Please raise your hand if you are a community manager for an existing Yammer network, free, enterprise, don't care. Raise your hands higher, please. A little higher, especially in the back if you're near the power cords. Okay. I'm actually going to be saying a few things today, which these seasoned, knowledgeable professionals might agree with or disagree with. And so those people who had their hands raised a moment ago, during some of these things, I'd like you to just keep an eye on them during the presentation. And if they're looking like this, okay, then you know that I've gone into some territory which is not necessarily accepted knowledge for our community management talk today. All right, so I'm hoping I will get those expressions a lot. Let me tell you a little bit about me while the people continue to file into the room. I've been working in change and communication and education for about 19 years. I'm Cargill's online communications lead. I am our owner for our Yammer community. I am not full-time on social collaboration, although I pretty much act like it all the time anyway. I actually report up through Cargill's corporate affairs department. And so what I do is I drive value and adoption and engagement in a wide variety of online platforms. I do a lot of intranet development. So one of the things that I wanted to make sure that you know is that I am not under the impression that I know everything about all of these platforms. It just means that I have opinions about them anyway. Also, I monitor and influence multiple social platforms. My company has a pretty extensive Salesforce deployment. And as you may or may not know, Salesforce is a tool that comes with an integrated social collaboration platform called Chatter. So I am not 100% focused on Yammer as the only source of social collaboration in my environment. We are officially tool agnostic, although you'll be able to tell where my heart is. And I am willing to take value from collaboration in all its forms. We have a lot of experience to share, so I'm going to actually start diving right in. I think we're on time. Okay. Okay. What I'm going to try to get across in 60 minutes or less, even if I have to speed up. First, who is Cargill? Basics about who we are and where we're at with social collaboration. We're going to talk about some of the lessons that you start living and learning when you start up a network and when you keep it running: engagement, governance, measurement, the things that all the community managers struggle with. We are also going to talk about the things that keep me and people like me up at night. We're going to talk about scale. We're going to talk about pace. We're going to talk about integration. So we are going to dive right in. Here we go. First, I want you to know, credit where credit is due, social collaboration has a team at Cargill. We are not the large and sexy team at Nationwide, but we absolutely get the job done. In front is my boss, Lise, best boss ever. She's our director of online communications. Next to her on paper is Axel, and he is joining us from Spain. He is a data privacy analyst, and now he lives in all of our heads. In the back row are our tech gurus, Mark and Darren, and you see our fabulous customer service managers wearing their Yammer shirts, Chad and Steve. We are missing some of our friends from technology, governance, and law, Matt and Elaine. They are important partners running a social network, plus Joe, our SharePoint guru, and Gail, who manages collecting our network metrics. You are all welcome, and I extend this invitation sincerely. to come and visit us sometime in lovely Minnesota, where today it is 12 degrees. Chances are you have no clue what my company does, and that is completely normal. We have almost no consumer-facing brands, unless you happen to like Truvia in your coffee, or if you like honeysuckle white turkeys. That's pretty much it. But we are massive, and we play in the food, agriculture, industrial, financial products and services globally. We've partnered with farmers, customers, governments, communities for almost 150 years. We have 142,000 employees around the globe in about 67 countries. So when you start talking about any company at that size and scale, remember, the left hand has no idea what the right hand is doing. Okay? Even our 20-year veterans do not know the full scale and scope of everywhere that we are involved and engaged. Constant growth, constant development, constant innovation. We work in offices, labs, plants, mills, fields, mines, you name it. We are committed in our principles. Literally, we think big, feeding the world in a responsible way, okay? And while we're doing it, reducing our environmental impact and also improving the communities where we live and where we work. All of this sounds extremely grand and extremely noble, so I will promptly plummet back to earth as I talk about our technology picture, okay? This is not gonna be pretty. We are a SharePoint 2007 shop. Oh, I have friends, I love this, okay. Our browsers are what can only be called retro, okay? We're dragging our machines up to Internet Explorer 8, okay? While we're also deploying Google Chrome, okay? On the bright side, we're rolling out Link 2013, and that's great, but often our people are viewing Link as a competitor to Yammer. We get into the which tool when dilemma, you know, and so that's very common. We will talk about that today. For email, we have a couple of people on O365, but they are the exception, not the norm. In other words, if you see someone who's working on O365, it's not like, oh, that's what you're using. It's like, oh, you got O365. Can I take a look at that? Okay, so we just took our first step into SharePoint 2013. And we deployed it for our intranet search, and I'm going to show you that today. So we are not wearing rocket jetpacks today, okay? And hopefully that's where some of you live as well. Our Yammer network acts pretty much like an independent network. We don't get a lot of those fancy integration pieces. If you got a SharePoint 2007 intranet, you're not even using feeds in a lot of places. You can only do Yammer embed. So we have some real limitations. Our technology keeps life interesting. So, as I talked about, we have had a Yammer network in place for about 20 months. And as of a couple of days ago, my network hit about 18,200 people. And last I checked, we had network members from 64 countries. That's really not bad. It means we've signed up about 13% of Cargill's employee base. So before that, you know, you start getting impressed with any of these numbers, we still have a long way to go. I want everybody. The darker colors in this map are the higher headcount of our user base, so you can see that we are heavily North America-centric, but we got good cohorts in Canada, and we got a lot of folks from the Netherlands. We've got pretty decent participation from China. Latin America's nice. But we have a lot of room to grow in Africa and Asia-Pacific. We do have businesses that operate in that space. Okay, blue screen for a moment, because I really want to stress this. We are a young network. 20 months is young. It is immature. Okay, we are an event-driven network, and I will get into what I mean by events. We are a question and answer network. What you've been hearing about for the last 24 hours is how all of this technology is going to change everybody's day-to-day work, right? It's going to embed itself in all of our day-to-day processes. And I'm going to tell you, okay, that's good. That's the promised land, okay? And there are places you're going to get your passport stamped before you get there if you follow our path. And that's not a bad thing. These intermediary states can drive value. We get value, and I'm going to talk about that today. Yeah, you know, value comes in many forms in Yammer, and here's an example. We have done a lot of things called yam jams. Now, if yam jam is a new term for you, some of you it might be, I'm going to give a quick definition. It is just a set period of time, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's a couple of hours, we've done some that were 3 days, where you have real-time dialogue in Yammer. And the key is that someone who is not usually generally available, say a CEO or a member of your C-suite, or some really knowledgeable expert that everyone's always trying to get time with, but they're not that available, you make those people available real-time inside Yammer, and you talk. Or else you have a really intense group discussion, all focused intensely in that virtual environment for a set period of time. So 35% of Cargill's leadership team has hosted or been a secondary host of a Yam Jam. That is pretty good. And we stopped counting them. We stopped counting our company Yam Jams when we hit 20, because after a while it starts to sound silly. It's like counting your town halls. It's like saying my 5-year-old daughter is, you know, like 162 months or something like that, okay? After a while, you just stop. We are a Yam Jam culture, okay? So that is what I'm talking about when I say we're an event-driven network. Our people are growing increasingly accustomed to saying, oh yeah, I have access to our leadership team. I get access to our experts. We do that in Yammer. Okay, so we are very event-driven, but we have huge challenges still ahead of us that I suspect many of you share. Major technology change, major culture change to make Yammer part of daily work for a critical mass of people. That is what I mean by promised land. But our network drives value. I like to say that our Yammer network exists so that Cargill can use what Cargill knows. And I'm not bragging or anything, but I like to think we do have some of the smartest bears in the woods. If any of you guys know anything about any of these things on the slide, you know about one more than I do. Because I don't know anything about thermophilic acidophilic bacteria control. I did learn to say it. I'm very proud of that. Okay. Our people post stuff like this, and I got to read this to quote this. Trying to figure out what is the best material to use to build an acidification tank in our wastewater treatment plant. Stuff like that gets 7 responses from people around the world inside 2 hours. Stuff like that. And then sometimes I get to see activity like this. Okay. This is an example of knowledge at scale. One person, Charlie, posts one sentence and one file. No other promotion, no other activity to try to surface this to other people in my company. But people grab it. People use it. In 13 locations, in 7 countries, on 4 continents. And those are just the ones we know about because they were kind enough to click something. Okay? This is the value that a company can get from working out loud, from sharing information and ideas and solution. This is why everything that I tell you in the next hour is worth it. Okay? This is the power of social collaboration. And by the way, all my slides are going to be posted. You're going to have absolutely everything. So don't worry about that. Okay. So here is one more note about our network. There have been... okay. There have been 0 cat videos posted in my network since we launched it company-wide. Cat videos, we've learned, are a pretty effective and global shorthand for content that is a total waste of time. This is a fun way of saying that my network has a really awesome signal-to-noise ratio, okay? We're really proud of that. Okay, so what we've done already, what we've covered, is we've gotten through the intro. Let's actually start talking about what it's like when you spin up one of these networks. And for those of you who have established networks, maybe there's still something in here for you. And if you disagree with me or you have something to add, I am wanting to hear about that when we open this up for Q&A. So how did Cargill go from start to value? You've been hearing work like a network. Let's talk about the work behind working like a network. There is change. There is drudgery. There is frustration. Yes, it's all worth doing. It's worth doing well. But here are some good things to know if you are taking it on. Let's change here. Nothing that I share with you today is going to be rocket science, because when I trash compacted my 3 hours of material down into really simple stuff, it was really simple, and here's where I'm going. A strong start, getting help, setting just enough policy, measuring, and hanging in there. Okay, all of these are key. We are starting strong. We're diving into that first category right now with a social media switch. This is a real thing that sits on a desk in an office where I work. And it's funny, but it makes a point, because it's made out of wood, you see, and it doesn't actually move. It's just always stuck in the on position, okay? Like social media, social collaboration, you do not get value from it by flipping a switch, all right? Build it and they will come is BS in a busy organization, all right? You don't turn on your network and the magic collaboration fairies stop by, and next week your culture's changed and you're at 365% ROI. That is a big bucket of nope. So we are going to spend time on these pieces. You're going to begin with a business case. You are going to seed groups into your network. You are going to target leaders and events. You are going to start communicating rabidly through all of your channels, and you are going to get really involved with training and support. We're going to sprint through this stuff. So you plan it, and you start the work. And I would actually say, no matter where you are with your Yammer network, I don't care if you're 20 months down the road like we are, or if you even got on this path before we did, do you have a business case? Because I really recommend it. Ours analyzed our business context and culture, our reason for getting into social collaboration. And it included some serious hard truths about our existing collaborative efforts before getting into Yammer. I quote, "At last count, we have almost 6,000 SharePoint teaming sites, hundreds of distribution lists, and terabytes of email. Every day, Cargill employees send 307,000 emails. And by the way, those numbers are 2 years old. I don't think they've gone down. Plus, we found examples of employees trying to work collaboratively on these clearly secure sites like Facebook and LinkedIn. And like many companies our size, it was unfortunately extremely easy to identify examples of major multi-million dollar business initiatives that were started up and then stopped because we found out that some other area was already engaged in a similar project, and then resources needed to be spent on consolidating and reconciling this project work. Okay, so it's pretty easy to quantify that value sometimes. We then took the position that not only could social collaboration help to eliminate those sorts of unpleasant surprises, that hugely expensive rework, but also that social collaboration should not become one of these examples, okay, where we've got multiple initiatives going. We wanted one platform for the company, one, and we wanted that one to become the glue that would bind together all of our collaborative efforts. So, moving forward, please, there we go. So we did not bring social collaboration into Cargill for what I like to call ooh shiny or kumbaya kind of reasons. Yammer manages our risk, and Yammer drives value. And here's the part of our business case that the Yammer people really love it when I quote. We brought in Yammer in order to make money, save money, and create business opportunity. And how is it supposed to do that? So, by the way, you're gonna have all these slides, and if you don't have a business case, this is a really good place to start. Okay. So, when people use it to share and leverage knowledge to create value, and you might see examples like increased cross-selling, so starting to bundle and sell, you know, actual suites of products instead of single selling, faster responses to customer inquiries, because often those are tracked and trackable. When people discover expertise and existing resources, remember the major projects that you stop 6 months in because some other group is already doing it? When people discover expertise and existing resources to solve company problems. So, for example, if you can actually get answers to questions when before your people wouldn't even have any idea who they could ask, this is an example of value you can get. We also improve operations. Remember that slide I showed you of a single file, a best practice, visibly spreading across our company? Okay. We also get value from avoiding duplication and rework. And how do you surface that? In those conversations where someone says, oh, wow, cool, I'm going to use this. That means they are not going to be spending the time to recreate that particular wheel. And also, when people form global and virtual work groups, can your collaborative communities advance your projects faster? Can you actually increase your research productivity? And yes, we have had innovation yam jams to solve technical problems. Or can you prove that you're ideating from people who are participating from around the globe? So these are all things to include in your business case. Just make sure your business case answers the question, what does wild success look like? I do encourage you to think big. It can also help you identify good prospects, teams that you as a community manager want to partner with and support because you want to push them into your network and support them so that they can become your proof points because they have achieved early value. Okay, moving along. This brings me to business teams and Yammer groups, and sorry, my company does do agricultural stuff, so this is part of our stock photography. In creating our business case, we actually sat down and interviewed a wide variety of teams that had indicated that they were interested in social collaboration tools, and a bunch of teams that also didn't, but we saw prospect of value. So for instance, we sat down and we interviewed a bunch of SAP experts that were scattered throughout our business units all over the world. Because if you've ever heard of Cargill, it's probably that we are the world's largest SAP deployment that's happening right now. Okay, so this is very business critical functionality for us. So we sat down and we interviewed those far scattered SAP experts and we said, what would happen if we gave you all this virtual forum where you could share all of these fascinating discussions about T-codes? Interesting. So we actually put together a roster of teams to reflect each one of those proof points that I showed you in the business case. We selected a couple for each proof point. And then we did our best to support them as we sort of pre-launched the network. So we had a soft launch. Before we launched it to our entire company, we had kind of a quiet time where we ran a little bit on the QT. And we tried to prove value with these selected teams. Now, I will tell you, and I will try to always be as transparent as I possibly can, that even with a clear value proposition, even with heavy attention and support, okay, one in four of these teams actually sustained engagement in time over time in Yammer. One in four. Okay. Don't be disappointed if adoption takes time and effort, even with a clear business proposition, even with support. This is not just new technology, all right? We are talking about culture and process change. We're talking about people's daily habits. This is not a short road. Here's where you might want to just take one little note about which of those teams were usually the one in four. We have gotten early value from company functions that look over the entire organization. I'm talking things like your strategic sourcing, you know, people like that. If you have company-wide functions, they do great in Yammer. They see the whole company as their clients and they want to meet them where they live. Also, teams that are geographically dispersed. Cargill has huge communities of interest that are basically oriented around safety and around continuous improvement. They love to talk about that stuff in there. So get some well-chosen teams into your network early and support them. Like I said, they are your proof points. And not only that, they will start forming your virtual culture. They are the teams that will determine whether or not you get cat videos. I'm serious. And once you start onboarding, you do not stop. I am 20 months in, and I am still feeding my network. Okay. As your network grows, your group support is going to need to scale up fast, and you will be busy. So in our early months, we were whitelisting 60 different versions of our company email address so that they could get into the network. Did you know that was coming? Okay. The other thing we were doing was calming down our German information privacy officer. Okay. So do this. Get meta. Create a Yammer group for your group creators. Okay? This is my absolute best tip today. Eat your own dog food. Create an online community of interest. All right? I invite every single group creator in my network into this group. You hit that button to create a group, guess what? Yammer kicks out an automated X person just created a group message. I have a keyword monitoring alert for that, and you are now on my radar, and I have just invited you to my group creator group. Okay? So that group in the Cargill network has more than 800 members. That's why I need a group. I can't hold that many hands. So do this early. There is lots and lots of stuff that I keep in this group, okay? But there are really only two pieces that matter. The rest is kind of crap. One is a checklist for people who just created that group. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to pounce on what is actually an impulsive act. Creating a group is an impulse. Most people don't do this in cold blood, right? Seriously, this is a moment either of curiosity or of goodwill, you know, I think I will create a group. This is usually not a strategic and well thought out act. So now that they've just created a group, I'm going to offer you literally step by step, box by box. Here's how you set up the group space. Here's how you think about who you need there for your experts and your community managers. Here's how you might plug this group into your teaming processes. Okay? It is an incredibly ugly, front and back, 8-point type, nasty looking checklist. And this has been named as a Yammer Customer Network Best of the Network resource. This has been downloaded by more community managers. This is great. It is hideous and it is totally useful. And if you want this thing, you can have it. All you have to do is you have to hop onto the Yammer network, you know, for my session and just say, me, give me the checklist, I'll hand that checklist over to you. An editable form, no less, because this is good. The other thing that I do is I offer a plan for the people for whom group creation is a strategic, cold-blooded act. Okay? Usually these are your managers. They are your communicators. People who say, how is a group going to improve my business processes? So I'm also happy to share this strategic plan so that you've got one that you can plug and play and work for yourself and offer that to your communicators. I'm all about sharing the resources. We are already halfway through starting strong, so hopefully I'm on pace here. Let's talk about targeting leaders and events, because this is a big deal. I work in change, and our rule of thumb is that 30% of people's motivation to change is seeing that behavior modeled. 55% is about incentives. Okay, but you're not going to pay people to join. So 30% is based on seeing that change modeled, and that is why leaders are important, because they lead. I know. This man staring into his laptop is Cargill's CEO, Dave McLennan, otherwise known as DMAC. This is one of his yam jams, and I don't know anymore how many he has done. Leader-wise, Cargill is a lottery winner, okay? In Yammer, DMAC has joked about being an English major, which he is. He has liked a picture of himself chowing down on a pork shank. He has email posted travel updates from China and the Ivory Coast. All right. Here he is, when he became our company's CEO in December, asking everyone in the network for their insights as he starts his new role. Because after all, every single person in that network has started a new job at some time or another. And so that was 48 replies. And DMAC is not alone. You remember me saying that 35% of our leaders have taken part in Yam Jams? Well, 77% of Cargill's leadership team has posted in Yammer. So if you want to win the lottery, go for company events and Yam Jams. Yam Jams, remember I talked about those, the brief events, you know, that you can take part in your network? Yam Jams are a manageable time commitment, even for the most senior leaders, even for the most busy experts. And you can position Yam Jams as events which follow up on and accompany your existing town halls and large-scale meetings. So find out who owns those meetings and remind them that you never get through all the Q&A. Do any of you guys work in organizations where you get through all the Q&A? Do you even get to the Q&A? Position a Yam Jam as a follow-on event. Get that chunk of time, even if it's just a half an hour right after the event, on that leader's calendar and sit them down at a keyboard for a well-promoted live Q&A session. And I will tell you that the key to getting a culture of Yam Jams, if you want one, is very simple. Two elements: feedback and competition. Okay. For all of our Yam Jams, we write one-page summaries with analysis, and I'm going to show you an example later. Leaders love feedback. They really don't get it very often, kind of like the rest of us, all right? Plus, when you send one of those pretty summaries to a leader, that leader, as long as it's pretty, tends to send it around to everyone else they work with, the other members of the C-suite, because they're competitive, okay? So when you get one leader, one high-level person to Yam Jam, you give them lots and lots of feedback, and then you leverage it like crazy. We have done this, and I recommend it to you. Yam Jams, by the way, can be as simple as I described, and they are so easy to overthink. Don't do that, because I already did that, and I would like to prevent you from following me in that particular regard. I have uploaded 7 pages, again, of 8-point font, of overthinking about how to run and manage and position Yam Jams. That's yours if you want it. Just tell me if you want it in the Yammer feed. Okay, seriously, don't do that, because Yam Jams are simple. At root, Yam Jams are conversations. If your leader can talk, they can Yam Jam. Bonus if they can type. Okay. I say this with love, because one of my Yam Jam leaders types with 2 fingers like this, and if he can Yam Jam, your leader has no excuse. Okay. Plus, we ask leaders to post to Yammer when they travel. So they thank their hosts, they share pictures, something they learned, something that surprised them. Like, in one day, in one country, in one plant, Cargill makes enough spaghetti noodles to go around the world twice. Okay? Now that in itself is sort of a fun and interesting little factoid, but again, leaders lead. And if this leader is sharing information and insight into their travel and their experiences, they are setting an example for all of their direct reports and everyone else in that network. Yammer can also add value to company forums. We won big by using Yammer to support Cargill's 2012 Leadership Forum. This guy over here at the left, who looks a little bit like 007, is our vice chairman, talking about it in our company magazine. None of this was business as usual at Cargill, and that's good. Every 2 years, Cargill's top 250 managers traditionally meet behind closed doors. This is harder to get into than the Red Party, okay? This time, it was Cargill's top 250 plus 219 global virtual participants in Yammer. The virtuals shared the event. They connected not just with the other virtuals, but with everyone. And they had live chats with leaders. We had more than 1,300 posts in that group in 3 days. And when we did a survey afterward of everyone, 97% of the participants felt that they had gotten something valuable out of that experience. People loved it. We loved it. We got Cargill's top 250 in Yammer. And we got a chance to train them on how to use the tool, okay? And not only that, here's a fun hack. If you can get one leader, leverage. Because what you can do is you can talk them into being a network admin for an hour and sending all the invitations from their account. No, seriously, do that. Get one leader and leverage. Okay, this next point is gonna be really quick. Use all your channels. Whatever your role is today, may I please extend a warm welcome to corporate communications. We're glad to have you. Put Yammer where people are looking now. Okay, people are not going to come and find it. If you build it, they will come. Nope. Put it where they're looking now. So I've got a big ad on the home page of our intranet because we don't have feed integration yet. We're not fancy. Okay? We got a big ad on our intranet homepage that sits there. I get stories in our company magazine, like you just saw. I make printable posters, I make sample newsletter text. We also keep a social collaboration site, which is what you're seeing up here, to host all this stuff so that people have kind of a quick start communications kit for when we catch their attention. This site has frequently asked questions, it keeps policies, here's where our measurement reports go, and what you're looking at is a sample of our weekly Yammer Digest. I think that Yammer's email digest, the nice way to say it is I don't think it's mature yet. So I spam block it, and I publish my own every week. And we post an announcement with the link to this page. We post an announcement in our all-company group every week in Yammer. So every week, someone in my network is getting a link to my weekly digest, and it's coming to their email. All right? And so that is an example of reaching people where they live. Training and support, my favorite. The last part of starting strong is support. And once you step on this hamster wheel, it just never stops. Okay, here's three reasons why. Yammer is not universally intuitive. People get confused. They want help. They want to be shown how to produce value in this tool. Okay, next reason, Yammer changes all the time. Something people understood yesterday, it's different today. Okay, and the third reason, Yammer breaks. It has bugs. Or my users do this really crazy stuff. They get married, okay? And when they get married, they change their name. And when they change their name, their email address changes. And when their email address changes, they can't get into the network. And so Mazel Tov, you got married? I'll open a Microsoft help ticket. Okay. So without training and support, you will get lower engagement. I'm not even going to prove it to you. It's obvious. People get frustrated. When they get frustrated, this is a new tool. They're not heavily invested in it. They're going to give up. Okay, they're just going to give up. So somebody, and try to make sure it's not you, somebody has to train people, okay? Somebody has to manage the help materials, and somebody has to oversee break fix, all right? And we are not a model to follow in this area because in this network, that is all one person. Me. And I'm here this week. Okay. And not only that, your admin will go insane, and I am questionable. So, sanity takes focus. And I want to introduce you to my network survival kit. I am talking about your network survival and also your admin. It is two groups that you want. It is two notes that you want. It is two files that you want. Okay. First, groups. One is for new Yammer users. There we go. New Yammer users. This is where I keep my training material. This is where I post my schedule for my live help. I also invite all new network members to this group every single week with a data export. In other words, every week I run the data export. I grab every name of everyone who's joined for the previous 7 days. And then I do a group upload, a bulk upload. And so if someone gets, bing, a nice little email that basically says, hey, you joined the network in the last week. Melanie Hohertz is inviting you to the new Yammer users group. Okay, so the welcome wagon has arrived on your doorstep. Now, the second group, help and support, is where we get issues and concerns. And also, this is where I post information about feature updates. So try and keep it simple. Put all your training and help in one place that's friendly and welcoming, and try and keep your break fix and needing help into another area if you can. Now, groups in Yammer are where notes live. And of my notes, if I had to say what are the top two I'd maintain, one is the note where I list the top training resources. Because it's in a note, I can make it a company resource that sits on the home page of everyone's Yammer homepage. Over at the right, there's a list of company resources. As long as you have a note that is your top training resources, put that on your Yammer homepage for everyone to see. We call it start here, because it doesn't get much more intuitive than that. I'm just starting, start here, okay? The other, surprisingly, is for those people who just joined Yammer and have no idea what to do here. So I have titled it, Yay, I'm in Yammer, what now? Okay? This covers basics like working out loud and posting to specific groups. And you can adapt one very simply. All it is an adaptation of an article by the Harvard Business Review. So it comes with some really nice credentials, okay? This is something that drives business value, and that's clear. We're quoting that at you. If I only had two files, one would be our etiquette guide, and I will show you that in a couple of minutes when we talk about policy, because it is much more policy than Emily Post. The other would be a cheat sheet on profile changes, because I really believe that a new user is going to engage more in the space long term when they take the time to set up and get comfortable in the space, when they post a picture. Statistics do show that if someone has a picture, even it's of their cat or their dog or their last Maui vacation, if you've got a photo associated with your profile, more people are going to engage with you when you are in the system. And also, when people join, often their name shows up butchered. So I just have this ready and I keep pushing at people in that new feed. Okay. Now, note, two groups, two notes, two files. Done, right? No, really. I wish I could. I really do. I wish I could. It is so easy to get in trouble. I love this thing. This is my 6-minute module on why and how to post to Yammer from email. Oh, I love this thing. This thing's beautiful. But it's been updated 5 times in 3 months. Yammer changes constantly, constantly. And all of the user interface in your screenshots changes. Where you look in Yammer to find a group email address, it changes, okay? So this is why I recommend two groups, two notes, two files, because anything more is a problem. Anything like this will kill you. And you need to limit them before they destroy you. This thing is beautiful, it is useful, and I'm gonna take it behind the barn and I'm gonna shoot it, okay? You can have my group success checklist, you can have my strategy, you can have all my other materials. This you can't have, because you're nice people. I'm not gonna do that to you. I'm not gonna hurt you that way. Okay, so if I haven't convinced you already that you need help, let's talk about getting help, okay? We're done with starting strong. That was huge, so it's a stretch, okay. Have I convinced you yet you need it? Your Yammer network, by the way, does not take a village. If you only get a village to help you, you are officially screwed. What you need is you need a universe. Here's who is in your universe. Communications, administrative assistants, IT, risk managers, power users, community managers, okay? If you are currently in your Yammer network operations and you are not actively in touch on a regular basis with all of these groups, there might be something here for you. So, we're starting with communicators. They are important allies for your Yammer efforts, right? You know you need them to get the message out where people are already looking. And I'm not trying to insult them by putting up a picture of chickens, okay? I am a communicator. But they are sitting on the fence. And you need their help. And you need to convince them that they need your help. Why? Because Yammer can extend the value of all the work they are already doing. It is as simple as that. Posting messages and links and files that they've already put blood, sweat, and tears into creating, you know, is something that drives additional value. It's giving it another 15 minutes of fame. It's making it searchable. In Yammer, sometimes that makes it translatable. And it is the extra 5 minutes of effort to get the most value for everything they've already done. And I'm still trying to convince them of that. Sometimes communicators can even stop doing work that they don't particularly enjoy, like a newsletter. Please raise your hand if you love newsletters. Okay, everybody hates newsletters. And I have a complete use case sell sheet about how you should retire your newsletter and run a Yammer news group instead. Everything from enabling wider contribution to searchability to not bottling up all your content for your time of publication, but pushing it out real time and making sure messages are short and actionable, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So why are communicators still sitting on the fence? First, Yammer's new, and they are not expert at it. You may need to offer training. You may need to steal and offer my Yammer customizable strategy. They are strategists. So grab what I have out here and try lobbing it at them. Sit down and discuss it and customize it. Second, your communicators may not see value in engaging with your network until it reaches some kind of critical mass. If all my people aren't going to see this message, why should I bother posting it? Okay? And also, communicators may not want to lead the way. They may not see themselves as change managers as well. Okay? So, one thing you will run into in working with communicators, which can be a real spot of resistance, is Yammer can challenge your company's current models of communication. Controlled releases. Do you guys talk about cascades like waterfalls where information goes from one level to another level to another level? Okay, so you've heard Yammer people talk about how why that's inefficient and it's not valuable and everything like that. But guess what? Communicators are often the owners of that activity, right? And changing that model can be very threatening. Anyone can post anything in Yammer. Information can pop up before it's fully baked, okay? Or someone can post something in Yammer that requires attention that your communicators didn't want talked about at all, right? No, the leader said that that doesn't go in the FAQ. The leader said to take that out of the talking points. Well, guess what? It's being talked about now, okay? So you got to address it out there. So I have 19 years in communications. I am a communicator. I understand them. I support them. And I'm still showing you them as a picture of chickens. Okay, and our partnership is still a work in progress. Right next to communicators on the fence are your administrative assistants. I lovingly call them gatekeepers, because they can control your access to leaders and to business teams. Okay, many of them are very good at blocking things that they don't see as smart uses of time, right? But you need the admins, you need them. They're the ones that keep your leader schedules for Yam Jams. They're also the gentle nudgers that get you travel posts from a leader that's tired and busy, you know, and kind of on, you know, Pacific time. Our admins actually really like Yammer because guess what? They are a community of interest. Consider them as your global dispersed workforce that could be a good team to get early in Yammer, right? They're the people who always have to know everything. They need the answer for the team, the manager, the leader. They are always the latest to hear about the process changes, the new rules, the new resources. So they can really go gangbusters as a community of interest. But again, Yammer is new. So admins are just as busy or busier than the leaders that they support. Get ready to do a lot of hand-holding. And when they whistle, I jump, because they are worth it. All right? Moving on to IT. Your IT partners, hey, if you're in this room and you're IT, I love you. Let me buy you a drink, okay? You need the IT support in Yammer. You do. Because you are going to be walking your way through single sign-on. You're going to need to whitelist Yammer-related URLs. You're going to need to deactivate your accounts for your terminated employees, right? Pull those reports and deactivate those accounts. Why? Otherwise, they're sitting on your engagement metrics, okay? You need to consider deleting something called a pending user base in Yammer. Let me explain. This is very simple. Some people are going to be invited to your Yammer network and they're not going to accept. Yammer considers these, with a lovely term, they're pending users, okay? The problem is, it's a complicated mess, that those people can continue to get messages and spam. They can show up in your suggested people to follow, okay? It can just turn into a big mess, and you will want to simply clean that pending user list out every couple of months. And that requires IT's help. Our IT works with us to set up our systems so that we can let contractors and joint ventures into our network through special processes. Yes, our contractors can join the network, so can joint ventures. And they've also helped us with the necessary browser upgrades. Remember, Internet Explorer 8. Okay. Plus, I'm leaning on IT to help me with some of the technical integrations because I want to surface Yammer conversations and activity in Salesforce. So there are some integrations that can make that possible, and I'm working with IT to figure those out. So when they do all this for us, and when they are possibly my favorite people in the universe, why are there no darts on that dartboard up there? Because there is not a single dart on that dartboard. What are we missing? Because we launched Cargill's network without IT support of our help tickets. Yeah. Thank you for that. Right now, remember, I am the one person at my company, 142,000 people in 67 countries, who serves as our Yammer help desk. And I'm here this week. Not good. Don't follow that example. All right, next in your universe is risk managers, the people who say no, the people who say stop, the people who go slowly and cautiously, who do all this because they care. We love them. All of my risk managers who are reviewing my presentation right now, I love you. I love you. And I hope you get used to spending quality time with them as early as possible, like even before you turn your network on. Seriously, get friendly with law. Get to know your lawyers. They're awesome. Records and information management, technology governance, okay? Have heart-to-heart questions in candlelight over questions like, can we upload files? Okay? How long can messages stay in Yammer before we think about deleting them? Can we post confidential information to our network? What kinds? Under what policies? Are you worried about electronic discovery? Okay? Especially if your company does financial trading or deals with protected health information, okay? You guys do not pass go without these people, all right? One interesting thing about Cargill's network is that risk management perspectives and priorities have actually gone totally viral there. We all think privacy. Seriously, it's gotten kind of crazy, okay? That one person whose picture I showed you where he's in our team, but he's in Spain, he has become a voice in my head right next to my mother. I'm serious. We are helping them raise awareness of everything from phishing to data security to privacy. They have managed to leverage our entire network, and I want you to offer that in trade. That is your bargaining chip, okay? You offer to make that awareness spread throughout your company. These relationships, I will tell you, are not painless. They aren't. But they are table stakes if you want to run a social environment at your company and do real business there. And they can be win-win. Now, my other favorite people in the power in the universe are my power users. This is Dave, otherwise known as 001. Our network has about 80 power users spread throughout the world. And these are folks who have attended one of my quarterly Yammer power user trainings. And after training, it's very simple. I ask them a couple of questions. And they said yes. Yes, they would help me keep an eye on the network. Yes, they would encourage their teammates to use Yammer. Yes, they would trade, you know, they would train some managers. They would even train a leader for me. And yes, they would add the Yammer success topic to some posts. All right? Some of them get extra credit and they run Yam Jams, and sometimes they even tell me about it. Some of them translate our help material into different languages. All of this work is completely voluntary, and the rewards are totally minimal and not worth it, okay? It's mostly recognition, it is. These are people who like being an expert. They like helping people. I use Photoshop and I add a little gold star to their Yammer profile, okay? So they have that recognition there. And we have a private group where we chat, you know, about new Yammer features and where I hear about the roadmap and anything that I hear that's hush-hush, I tell them in our little private group and ask them to keep it quiet. I also add them to the Yammer customer network so that they can network with others. Also, many of these people got a little bit of special love in my end-of-year digest as some of the people who are most influential in my network, and that went a long way as well. Now, granted, I don't see everything that all these people are doing, And that is another reason why they're important. My Yammer network, it's full of private groups. I don't read all that stuff. They're private. But my power users belong to a lot of these groups, okay? And so they're the ones involved in these conversations, putting the Yammer success topic on it, letting me know if there's any concerns, surfacing value. They're global, and I can't just bake cookies for everybody. It drives me crazy. So they are an awesome, low-maintenance, high-value community. And I will talk more about trying to get these groups started. All right, moving forward. A few of my power users are also community managers. But my community managers have something just a little bit different, okay? They don't just enjoy being experts with the tools for themselves, okay? They don't wanna just do it differently themselves. They wanna get everybody else working too, and they are gonna lead it. They are gonna drive it, okay? This is just how they're wired. They get excited about change. They're completely contagious, all right? With love, I call these people border collies. Okay. They have a lot of energy. They have herding instinct. And they get stuff done. What I'm asking you to do when you open up your community, or if you're running your community, is I want you to consciously keep scanning the environment to find your collies. All right? Be ready to leverage when the collies come and find you. If your company has a change community of practice, if you're a large company and you actually have your change network or something like that, you know, go in there with a bag of treats and whistle a little bit, and you might find some people there. But in Cargill, they come from all over. I have people at this level who are from HR, who are from IT, learning and development, even finance, okay? Just recognize a collie when you see one and be ready to invest a little bit of extra time and energy. Train them. Praise them, okay? You might even want to add a few more network admins, because remember, you got admins and you got verified admins, okay? So make a few more network admins for those people who are really committed and show that level of support, even if it's not their day job, because collaboration means trust. Let people help you. Share the work. Okay, take a breath, stretch, because we're moving on and talking about policy. Exciting. Okay. This is my recommendation, that you consider just enough policy. We're going to talk about control. That you consider just enough policy to make the journey possible. Okay. It is there to control the risks, but maintain the view. I would like to know if any one of you would take this path without the rail. Okay. But the rail isn't heavy, right? It's not over the top. This isn't blocking your view in any way. You can still look, right? It's a good balance of policy and trust that just lets people relax and enjoy the experience. So this is an important thought about social collaboration. Policy does not mean control, all right? I would like all of you right now, because you've been exposed to an absolute flood of information for at least the last 36 hours, to just kind of have a brief moment of zen and picture a blank white sheet of paper. I would like you mentally to write the word control on that sheet of paper. All right, now please crumple it up and toss it over your shoulder and don't hit the person in the row behind you, okay? You do not control people in a social collaboration network. You manage. You educate. Sometimes you just wait and you watch the train wreck to see if it'll spread, okay? And over, when your team leaders or your managers ask you how you're gonna control their people in this network, what you do is you walk them through the white sheet of paper exercise, okay? You do. Or you can just tell them, if they're the serious types, that every single message in a Yammer network is individually identified each and every time someone posts, okay? That a company's collaborative community generally polices itself. I hear from a leader or manager at least once every 2 months, how are you gonna control my people in this network? I'm serious, this is gonna come up. All right, some days in your network are going to be more challenging than others. Because once you turn on your network, it is on, and then life happens. I want you to imagine your social collaboration network humming along. Some of you actually have one, this won't be hard. And then something like this happens at your company. A change in your company leadership. New CEO. Okay. Reduction in force. High-profile litigation. Product recall. The untimely death of an influential leader. Natural disaster impacting employees and your facilities. Work injuries and fatalities. We've experienced all of the above in the last 20 months with a social network. And with no policy changes. Your mileage may vary, we are all special snowflakes, but our network has pretty much rolled with it, okay? These that you see up here are two topics in our network that were created during particularly intense times. Topics, if you're new to Yammer, are like metadata, okay? They sit below posts, and then when you click on them, you can see everything that's had that sticker put on it, all right? So, the first topic is candor. And the candor topic was born when Cargill went through a very unusual, for us, reduction in force. And our leaders, instead of trying to quiet the conversation, held a yam jam about our company culture and direction. That was when we had the candor tag. And I don't know who made it. I didn't make it, okay? And we got the in memoriam tag when a very popular young leader, she was in her 30s, I think, suddenly passed away unexpectedly. And people all over the world started sharing stories about her in Yammer so that we could create a memory book for her family. Okay? We talk openly about safety incidents in our network, okay, including near misses and deaths. We talk about them. Because sharing information and raising awareness is how we're going to keep them from happening. Okay? My point is this. When you have a network, things are going to happen. And life goes on. Control is not the answer. So what policy do you need? We have three policy pieces at Cargill, and you're looking at two of them, minus the dancing penguins. First is an acceptable usage policy. You click through that when you join the Yammer network. And a few people might even read it. So because we know that you all don't really read those long screeds that come when you install a new app on your phone or something like that, we push this to everyone every 6 months with a brief and really funny message about how we've put something in there. You should go take a look, okay? But it also sits on our network homepage. And where you see the network usage policy, we've condensed the whole focus of it down to one sentence that we think is important. Post confidential information only if everyone in the group is allowed to see it. View the policy. Because that answers right at a glance that yes, you can post confidential information to our network. So here's what you need to know when you do it. Our usage policy also covers how we respect personal data and how people can report any concerns. We also have contractor and joint venture provisioning policies. Because after all, not all contractors are like we see contractors in the United States. I understand we've got attendees to this conference from all over the world. So you may know that depending on what country you're in, a contractor may have a 20-year relationship with your company, right? We want those people. We want that knowledge in our network. But we're not so wild about the idea of a contractor who's going to be with us for 3 months, rolling in, taking a look at all the company information, and then rolling on out. So we have policies that we try and put in place in order to minimize that. A few extra provisioning steps for a contractor, if it's a long service contractor, that's a pretty low bar for them to overcome. But a 3 month contractor, probably their manager isn't going to approve them for the network, and so they won't be, you know, they won't be in if they're a short timer. Contractors also have to keep their third party status visible in their name in Yammer at all times. This helps us make sure that we know when people are in private groups, who is a company employee and who is a contractor. It is a very common sense measure, and I recommend it. Okay, our third policy piece is our etiquette guide. Does everybody recognize the cat? Okay. If you take Yammer's community manager training, which I highly recommend, part of the course is to create one of these. Ours is actually really popular in the Yammer customer network. It's the cat. It pulls you in. It does. It's friendly looking, and it's easy to skim, you know, but I think it's very functional. And we start with what we're asking people to do, okay? Not with what you don't do, you start with what you do. That includes staying positive and being thoughtful about what you post. And also, that the default group in your network, all company, unless you advise people very gently that you'd like them to target their posts someplace else, your all company group kind of becomes a dumping ground and a source of noise. So this helps head that off at the pass. And we say, post there on purpose. And here's our mnemonic, which I really like. Post to all company when you don't know who knows, or you want everyone to know. Okay, nice and simple. The bottom half is a light touch on what to avoid, including posting about your lunch instead of what you learned at lunch. Also, don't solicit your fellow employees. We keep a very bright line on this. And I think that that's driven our grand total of 7 deletions in 20 months of operation. Okay? No Girl Scout cookie sheets. We also ask that people avoid posting about religion because faith is very personal. Okay? So no religious groups in our network. We don't worry about and police messages where faith is just one element along for the ride, right? Where it's context. But this one line in our policy guide, plus some very short, thoughtful messages with very well-intentioned people, have kept us from ever having to tell someone, no, you can't create that group. We just say we'd rather you didn't. And they say, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And also, don't post the cat videos. And we position that as being simple bad luck. You can actually have this guide if you want it. Again, all you have to do is let me know, and I will provide you with an editable version. And the cat, you won't even have to recreate the stock imagery because this is apparently one of my coworkers' cat. So this is free domain. Okay. We launched our guide with this printable poster that came with it, and we challenged all the users in our network to print it out and hang it up somewhere and then post a picture of where they hung it up. And that turned out to be a really good tactic. People like that. So here is my friend Ursula. She's a complete and utter border collie, and she hung it up in a copy room in Mechelen, Belgium. Okay. So I don't actually know, by the way, if our policy is great or if I'm just lucky. Sometimes it's just better to be lucky than good. But this light touch on policy has worked for us through all of those events that I mentioned in the last 20 months. So I would like to say, give a try keeping it light. Moving on to measurement. Will all the community managers please raise their hands one more time? If you're a community manager, raise your hand, please. Everybody, please watch these people. I'm going to say some things that if they look like this, I've gone someplace interesting. Okay. Measurement is a real challenge for your Yammer network. Okay. You're investing time and money in collaboration, and you want to know if you're succeeding. And we community managers want to know if all the efforts and activity that we're up to, if that's making a difference. But here is where I want you to manage your expectations and your manager's expectations and your network stakeholders' expectations. So a couple caveats. Number one, first, what's good? What level of engagement? What level of activity? What's good? What's good for your company? How do you know? My network is a growing, changing, living thing. And Yammer has different features now than it had 12 months ago. My people couldn't even do all the things back then that they can do today. So I know, and I can tell you, that my network has doubled in size over the last year. Cool. But is 18,000 good? Should we be growing faster? I have no idea. And here's my second point. I don't think benchmarking gets you anything. Okay? We see posts all the time. There was a post this morning in the Yammer Customer Network, again, that said, hey, here's our level of engagement. Is that good? What's yours? Can someone tell me? Okay? But to me, that's apples and oranges. It really is. Show me a company with a similar employee population to mine. Show me another SharePoint 2007 shop. Show me one with similar industries and possible uses for this collaboration tool. I'll compare myself to them. But otherwise, I'm sorry, you guys are different fruit. And not only that, but connecting data to dollars is tough. It can start with chasing down a real-world result from a virtual conversation. Okay, think about that. What is the real-world result from a conversation that you had this morning with someone you networked here. How do you prove that? How are you going to find it out? Okay? Say you find it, and then you assign value to a conversation. How much? Even if I see the genesis of an incredibly high-value product in Yammer, you know, does Yammer get credit for the full X million dollars? Really? Or how do I calculate the value of the time my colleagues are saving by discovering existing answers and resources in my network? Do we pay McKinsey to come in? Do we pay them $500,000 to come in and do that? Because that's kind of self-defeating. All right. Long story short, I measure activity, I demonstrate value, and I struggle with dollars. So here, very quickly, is what we've done with system analytics, user reporting, and examples. Okay. System analytics. For anyone new to Yammer, this is the analytics panel. You can choose a view of either the last 7 days or the last 28 days. And there's a couple stats you see below, growth in files, but the number that leaps off the page is that 5315. That big number is engagement, okay? And that makes sense. As a community manager, you want to know if people are actually using the tool. It is tempting as a community manager to check on these numbers every once in a while using the 28-day view. This is my opinion. Your mileage may vary. Don't do that. No, seriously, don't do that, okay? Look at that, the graph over there. Look at the peaks and the valleys in that graph. If you haven't yet penetrated to the point where Yammer is part of your network's day-to-day processes, if you're having a lot of events, okay? If you're having events, that means that you can very quickly fall into sample error. After all, if I check on a day when I've got a high dot right there, I can tell you I've checked on my network on days where there's 43% engagement. I've hit one of those peaks right there. And if you check on it on a day when it hits one of those troughs, you can get a number that's down in the 20s, okay? So when you look matters, this is a point in time view. You can't flip it to yesterday's view or the day before. It is a point in time view for the day you look. Also, so we got sample error, we got limited range. So here is what I advise you do. Look every day. That is one of our team members does. She checks these analytics every single day, and she puts all of that data into an Excel spreadsheet. That's time consuming, but it means that we can do all the analysis that we want. Also, we regularly deactivate the accounts of termed employees. Otherwise, your data is junk. You got a bunch of dead riders on your engagement metrics. Don't do that either. If you want more analytic firepower, you might consider a third-party vendor like Good Data or ViewDo, because they can slice the data 7 ways from Sunday. And they can give you some data that you can't get here, like group-level analysis. So they are worth a look, they are. But two problems with that. One is winning budget and approval to spend more money on your Yammer network to pay for that service. The other is that you are handing your company data to still another vendor, because they have to have the data to analyze it. How happy are your risk managers going to be when you tell them you don't want to hand your data to one vendor, you want to hand it to two? Okay, so that's a problem. The second problem is that you cannot get comparable engagement data from a third-party vendor. You see that big number right there? If you hover over the word engaged, it's going to tell you what Yammer's measuring. And it counts posting, liking, sharing a conversation, expanding a conversation, changing your message feed view. You sort of twitch, and that engagement number goes up in this score. You go to someone like Good Data, and their engagement score is two things. It is posting a message or replying. None of those other clicks. And that's not their fault, okay? That data is not available in Yammer's API for them to access, for them to grab and surface it for you. That's just where we happen to be today. Good Data would love to do that for you. ViewDo would love to do that for you. It's just not available. So yes, we are paying Good Data, and we are tracking our daily metrics in Excel. All right? So here's my advice. Track your results in Excel, and here's the painful part, and I do mean pain. Use the 7-day results, not the 28-day results. Okay? A big event like a Yam Jam will only influence your engagement score for 7 days this way instead of 28. It's a lot more fun as a community manager to report the 28-day results, right? You get to count as engaged every employee who's clicked something once in a month. Is that changing the way they work?
No, 7-day is what matters, but it's depressing. Your average community manager transitioning off the 28-day to the 7-day is a depressed being this close to just ending their misery because their numbers are going to fall like a rock. I'm not kidding. If you have a network stakeholder who really is into this engagement data, sure, track your 28-day results too. Give them the 28-day. You look at the 7-day, okay? Please remember what I said earlier about benchmarking, because I'm about to trot out Cargill's apples here. Our goal is to beat the 99-1 ratio that describes the common engagement pattern on collaborative sites. Is everyone familiar with 99-1? It's kind of an oldie but a goodie, okay? For a collaborative site like a wiki, on average, 90% of contributors are passive. They're viewers only. They just consume. 9% are intermittent contributors, and 1% are those highly active and engaged content creators. So we aim for sustained engagement, not just a peak, sustained patterns of engagement at 10% or higher. If we're at 10% or higher, that's the 9+1, and we are beating this ratio. For the last 6 months, our network has ranged between 9% and 12% engaged on the 9-day lookup. Our event-driven spikes, and this is why it's important to cancel out the noise in your network. On a week when we've had a yam jam in the system, that spikes up to 24%. Okay? But our day-to-day, using it to get their work done, touching it at least once a week pool, is right at about that 10% average. Okay? One last thought. Right now, we still can't click. We still can't track lots of clicks in Yammer. We're talking in the Yammer customer network about how we want this lurker data, okay? Picture views, video views, downloads. Tell your network stakeholders that right now you got ninjas in your network, okay? They are moving silently through and nothing is picking up their activity, okay? They're reading and sometimes they're even clicking and you don't know they're there. They're not showing up in your data. You can balance out your data from your system analytics with user reporting and examples. User reporting is simple. Whomp up a survey with your company's favorite tool, run a poll. We actually have a tip out there in the Yammer customer network about exactly how to do this. So I'm going to push right past this and move on. Our last measurement category is examples because numbers have authority, but examples tell your story and they pack a punch. This is one of my favorite conversations, and don't even strain and try and read. The reason I show this one is this is an example. Every time a new user joins the network, there's this spammy message that I liken to, you guys know the sitcom Cheers? Every time Norm walks in, everyone goes, "Norm!" Every time a new user joins the network, there's a joined message, and many community managers ask initially how to turn it off. Not only can you not do this, you shouldn't do this. Because this is an example of someone who's in charge of our beverage space in North America discovering that he actually has a European counterpart. Go figure. And maybe they could make some money together based on a join message. The left hand does not know what the right is doing. And I'm going to move super quickly through why you need to persist. We're totally on the back nine, and this picture is probably torturing some of you. So we've covered the work involved in starting up, managing, and measuring your network. But you are up against individual habit, and you're up against company norms. And you are totally going to feel change fatigue. When you roll out Yammer, you are not handing out Belgian chocolates. You're asking people to quit smoking. I'm serious. You're saying, "Hey, I'm giving you something wonderful." And they're saying, "Hey, you're asking me to change what I do every single day. Are you out of your mind?" Okay? Email's like cigarettes. Even if we don't like it, we use it without thinking about it, okay? We don't think about when to open it in our day. We don't have to think, "How do I use this?" All right? So company culture is like personal habits on steroids. People may feel that they're an individual user. How do they change processes that are collectively owned, okay? And you just have a slow march of time until you reach that tipping point of, "This is what I do," or, "This is what we do around here." So the silver lining is that your network is social, and I advise you to let your network be social, okay? Create a break room group. Push all the social posts in there so that your feeds stay clean. Have an inspiring quotes group. Have a photography group. Have a recipes group. Those are the groups that make Yammer the daily habit that are eventually going to drive value in your network. Habits that are going to be hard to break.
All right, I'm moving really quickly now. I know people have got to go soon. A brief word on behalf of dinosaurs. These are the people at my company, and there are lots, who've actually walked up to me and used the phrase, "Oh, I'm a dinosaur." Really, I hear it a lot. Recognize that some of your colleagues are not ready right now, and maybe not ever, to go on this journey with you. For real, okay? That's okay. I've been so happy this week to learn that eventually Office 365 is going to make these people available to work in either an email view or a Yammer view. To me, that can maybe just retire this once and for all. But right now, we're a SharePoint 2007 shop, and Office 365 is a pipe dream. So I tell these colleagues, no problem. Let me meet you where you are. I'm going to show you how email works with Yammer. And I'm going to help you give value to others in Yammer and get value from Yammer without ever opening a browser. Because you can do that, and I show them how. I love my email-based dinosaurs, and I'm going to keep taking care of them. All right, we're at Wile E. Coyote. We're almost done, I promise. How many times did Wile E. Coyote fall off that cliff? Because you're going to get the falling feeling that many times. Okay, meep, meep. The user interface changed again. Okay, a feature showed up. Something that you depended on disappears. Something works differently today. This is normal. Get used to it. It's how it is. It doesn't mean it's easy to live with. That can suck. Okay? It's tiring. And over time, that accumulates. And that is what change fatigue is. When was the last time you were surprised and confused by what your email did? Okay? Because remember, email's invisible. Yammer's getting in your face all the time. Okay. Social collaboration's a long road. But tell all your partners to be patient, because we're not there yet. We are almost done. I'm actually going to go through lightning speed through these. Scale. If I wake up with a tattoo this week, it's going to say scalable processes with a little heart and dagger here, okay? Because when your network grows and evolves, the way you take care of it is going to have to evolve too. When my network gets to 40,000 and 60,000, I better have a whole new bag of tricks, okay? This month, one last note on this slide, and I'm buzzing past the rest. I'm kicking off a Yammer group that's aimed at the lurkers in my network. If you've never engaged in my network, I'm going to invite you to a group. It's called the 90%. Okay? I'm inviting about 2,000 people in it, and if it goes well, I'm going to scale that group up a little bit more. I understand that's weird. I know it. But if I don't, you know, if they don't like it, I'm probably not going to hear about it, right? Okay. Okay. The next thing is pace. Yammer changes really fast, okay? And while that's good, remember that as you succeed with it, the price of that is going to continue to go up. As more of your people use this tool and something changes unexpectedly, it's going to hurt more, right? Or if you start getting it into your day-to-day business processes, the business critical stuff, if you experience change and disruption in that, it's going to hurt more. That's the nature of the game, and that is the price. But I'm telling you, folks in Yammer and Microsoft, that change management, that piece, y'all had better mature that and fast. All right, last thing is integration. I could put a whole bunch of names on these silos. One of them could say Yammer and Salesforce. Another one could be Yammer and old school Outlook. Because as they begin to pour money into Office 365, all of us users of old school, non-O365 email, we are going to start feeling the pain, because everything is going to be tilted to that new product and experience. It's going to be difficult. We're not going to see the value. And even if best case scenario, my company suddenly starts rolling out SharePoint 2013, okay? That suddenly is going to be the 900-pound gorilla in the room. And as Bill Clinton pointed out the other day, people in teams can only handle so much change, so much instability before they completely shut down. Now, my last message for you today, I promise I'm wrapping up. One last thought about integration. By now, you've been through oodles of sessions showing gorgeous examples of Yammer collaboration woven through Office 365. And maybe you've seen beautiful Yammer integration with SharePoint 2013. I'd like to show you a different picture. This is an ugly duckling. My message today for you, in case you missed it, has been that collaboration takes work, that changing process and culture takes time. All right. When your organization starts down the path, the first steps can be messy and awkward. You do not go to sleep a duckling and wake up a swan. All right. You keep waddling and you keep your eyes on the prize. And this is my baby duckling. This is Cargill's intranet. Okay.
We just introduced our first piece of SharePoint 2013. It is our search center. And we are introducing My Sites for our employees, including a Yammer feed. Here's a look. So there's our search center right there. Okay, I'm trying to move on. Here we go. This is our search center. I've done a search for the word recognition. And you can see I'm using the intranet search scope. And that search scope is going to carry over here into Yammer if you click that search scope. Here's what's going to happen. You can now see that I've got my recognition search carrying over to Yammer as a search scope. Yammer conversations are now searchable straight off our intranet page with a few awkward clicks. So it's clunky, but one small step forward for Yammerkind. Okay. Now, going back to our intranet home, we're also introducing My Sites, and we've heard a lot of feedback from people who are upset that their links that used to be here have now moved one click off the home page. One click of disruption is a big deal, all right? They want their status quo back. Here's the Yammer piece. The first time you log in, you will see this. When they click on it, they've got their My Links. You can search. Here's your Yammer piece. And once they go through that first login, this is what the handshake looks like. Voila. If I can bring it up. Now you've got your Yammer feed and your My Site. Now, we have all this garbagey text up on top of it, and this is part of my ugly duckling message. We have this garbagey text up here because we have lots of people using old browsers, and this doesn't work so well if you're running Internet Explorer 7. Okay? Also, we have a note up here that this Yammer feed is kind of light on features. You can post here, but you can't upload a file. Okay, you can't go check groups or anything like that. And my message is that means that for this particular app, Microsoft is doing its development one step at a time, too. This isn't full functionality. So, all this said, everything that you've heard about the work and the challenges of collaboration, it is worth doing well, and nothing cool is easy, all right? I want social collaboration to change the way my company works and yours. I want every employee coming in with access to this tool to have the power of the 20-year veteran. I want people to play in color outside their role and in spaces that just interest them and that they care about, okay? I want to see people connecting in communities that ignore the company organization lines and ignore geographic borders. I think these are changes that are valuable for people as well as for companies, and I totally want to see the money. I want to see what happens when shared services moves wholly into a collaborative environment. Okay, when sales teams are using this in ways that they actually tie to sales targets. I want to see that happen, and I want everyone to get excited about it and make that happen. And now is when I really want to hand out cupcakes, because you stayed with me. Thank you. And if you have any questions for me, I'm going to be around for the rest of the conference, and I absolutely want to talk with you. Thank you so much.